meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, welcome. As we sit here in the ice box, Christina, you forgot to turn the heat on.
I don't know how to work that thing. It's too high tech for me.
It's good this way. I'm
anyway, this will keep us.
Off it up and put it at the foot of the cross.
Off it up. What do you say? Off it up
and put it at the foot of the cross.
What is that? Anyway, I'm Father Anthony, and I'm your brother shivering here in the studio. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus as we come to you from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here at St. Stanislaus Kostka under the beautiful backdrop of the Chicago skyline. In the heart of Chicago, did I say that? In the heart of Chicago? We have a strange little bit of a system here because this is not a, it's a regular room, but we don't have a regular heater.
There's no radiator like in all the other rooms.
But that should generate some kind of heat. Can you start a fire? Maybe get a...
Well, you're going to start a fire with your hands, Father. We keep
exactly,
on rubbing
that's
them.
Right. Just going to have those warm hands. Anyway. So welcome. Happy Tuesday, first Tuesday in Advent, right, the first week of Advent. Tony, we missed you yesterday. What happened to you? Where were you?
I was kind of...
Under the weather?
Where was I? I was a little tired. I was helping a friend move. He had to get out at a certain time. And
he had to get out, he was booted out or something? Or?
That's a long story.
Okay. I want to go into it.
Yeah, it's really...
A long, dramatic story.
There I was, the only guy to help him, so I was there.
But you did your good deed, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we're happy to have you back. Geraldine's gone for the day. She'll be back tomorrow.
She wasn't able to make it today, so she will be back Thursday.
She's doing a good thing today, by the way. Isn't she giving blood?
Oh, I saw you just now. She called earlier. I know you're listening, Jerry, but I haven't seen Father just now.
It's the first time.
They didn't have anyone to come, so they're coming tomorrow.
Her house.
So
all right,
it didn't work out today.
Okay, so we can get caught up on the news and the life of Geraldine, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then you're doing fine, Christina.
I've been
making the translation of that letter. I'm
busy.
Hoping
last night I did that one translation, and I'm going to start with the Christmas translation.
Okay. So. Somebody said the other day, by the way, that the translations were very, very good, and I said, well, you know, I did the last two, so I
the last two
referring to those last two. No, the last two, the not the last one, but the two before that. Mm. But she was referring to your translations.
Okay.
I'm certain of that.
So we try our best.
We have to do everything in three different languages. Yep. Three different languages. Anyway.
Wit.
So what is today? Today is the Giving Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday.
Just to remind everybody that we're a nonprofit organization, you know, so... You know, what they have, this is, I guess, who comes up with these things, but this is a good thing, I think, you know, because you had the Black Friday on Friday, which was about going out and buying, 11% down from what I read, so it wasn't as, and then Cyber Monday, which is what, online
buying,
purchasing and all that. And
Black Friday, but online.
I guess, why they call it cyber, I guess it's because it's via
the, everybody's online.
Is that what you call when they talk about cyberspace? Is that
yes.
what that is?
Yeah.
So cyberspace
online.
Is living. That's where we spend most of our time now in cyberspace, right? So some people, most people, maybe.
Most people, and that's what you hear. They don't want to deal with the traffic, with fighting for parking. They just don't want to deal with people in general.
I just don't like people.
I just don't want to deal with people.
Yeah, well, you know, the
especially certain people. Anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's so. But today's Giving Tuesday, so somebody came up with that, and that is maybe to kind of counter the Black Friday and the Cyber Tuesday or Cyber Monday, because it's Giving Tuesday. What did you say yesterday?
Thanksgiving.
So this is the day whatever.
For us, for the church to get.
Yeah, well, we'd like. I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice.
But wait a minute. Is there something, the way this was planned? I mean, Black Friday, everybody threw their money out there. It's probably gone. The people that didn't Cyber Monday, they threw all their money now. Mm-hmm. What's left?
What's there to give?
What's left on Tuesday?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, for those of us who didn't, I didn't go to Black Friday. I didn't do Cyber Monday. So that's for all of the rest of us.
It's probably in the minority. I think those people are probably the ones that are always giving anyway.
True.
Perhaps.
To something that's worth.
I hate to throw water on a...
Whatever, we're depressed people over here.
We're not depressed.
I am.
We're just keeping it real.
Exactly.
Trying to keep it real.
Well, anyway, so today's Giving Tuesday, and, you know, as I said yesterday, our doors are open 24/7. We're a nonprofit. It's a beautiful sacred space for the worship of God. We got the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. Always, you'll see this is a historic building. It's a big building. It's a big sanctuary, a big temple, a big church. We have beautiful iconography and all that, but it takes a lot to maintain mm-hmm. these beautiful churches, this beautiful church. So if somebody out there would like to give to a nonprofit organization such as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, St. Stanislaus Koska, this would be the day to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And if not today, tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, the day after, and whenever. And yes. So all you have to do is you can visit the website at sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org and click on the donate button. I think that's your credit card donation will be handled securely by PayPal. PayPal. Well, you don't have to know. This is send you right there. So, or you can send a check. Mm-hmm. To St. Stanislaus Koska Parish, 1351 West Evergreen, 60642 in Chicago. So that's enough of that. But it is Giving Tuesday, right?
Yes, it is.
So what I wanted to do, because I didn't do it yesterday, and I want to start with, I got a few things mm-hmm. here today, but since we're in the season of Advent, I wanted yesterday to share a little bit of the writing of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and this is going back. You got to think about this. You know, I find it amazing the history of the church. Now, there's a couple of things. Well, we'll just kind of do what we do. We'll just kind of go from one thing to the next and see how it all kind of fits together. But I did want to do this yesterday. I didn't get a chance because I was talking about something else. I don't remember what I was talking about, but I think it was related to Advent anyway. But this is. What's interesting, when you think about, well, you just take sacred scripture, you know, and you take the Old Testament, and we're talking about writings that go back, you know, thousands of years. And it's interesting. I think Jerry might have said this yesterday that, you know, it's I use my words, nothing new under the sun, but amazing.
Yes.
That how things haven't changed.
Yes.
You know, there's been significant change, but yet at the same time, the human person is the human person.
Yes.
Now, maybe one of the significant change in our time, what makes this time so different from any other time in history. So when people say, well, it's not that different. It's not, right? Because we do have cyberspace. I mean, you know, you think about that, you know, that even, you know, 40 years ago or 50 years ago, how long has television been around? I think maybe 60 years. I don't know.
Too long.
60, 70, I don't know. I mean, these are good things, but at the same time, you know, there's, they can become their own demons, right?
When we abuse then you know? There has to be always a balance.
Or if our reality becomes cyber reality, you know, mm-hmm. because we're living in cyberspace, then we got a problem, right?
There's a problem. Yes, that's a major problem there.
And what's interesting, too, is, you know, the extent to which information is everywhere all the time in everybody's face, all the time. I mean, you know, just whatever happens today. And so you think of all the fires burning all over the world and while that's always been, but how easy it is to throw fuel into the fire, you know, to foment unrest or to generate racial division, division within the family, division within the community, division within the church, whatever it might be. So as we're in the season of Advent, which is it is a penitential season because we heard on Sunday, I have the reading right here somewhere, but the season began with Jesus calling us to be alert, to be awake, to watch, that we don't know the day nor the hour. The world is passing away. And when the Lord comes, when he comes, because Advent is not just remembering that he came, but it's an anticipation of his second coming, the second coming of Christ. And he will come at some point. And he says, you know, watch, you don't know. He says, be watchful, be alert. You don't know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you asleep, sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. You know, and even the day before that, on Saturday, so the year ended, Jesus saying to the disciples, you know, be aware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that the day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. By the way, it's very sobering, right? I mean, it's really, this is very consistent throughout the scriptures that at the end of all things, at the end of time, there will be this cosmic upheaval, and it won't be so pleasant. You know, and the church teaches, and extrapolating from sacred scripture, that at the end of all time, at time as we know it, the world passes away when Jesus comes, that the church itself will have to pass or make that her walk down the road to Calvary, imitating her master, and that there will be the apostasy and people will leave, people abandon God. I mean, this is consistent in the whole of Scripture. But when it seems that the church, of course, this is the time of the Antichrist, right? The forces, the powers, and the principalities that will come in a very very strong, very powerful way, work against the church and her mission. You know, the church, the sacrament imbued with the very life of God, the very life of Christ, to bring light into the darkness. And it'll seem almost as if the darkness fully suppressed, distinguished the light. But when the death, as she shares in the suffering of Christ, when it seems that she's been defeated, you know, Christ will come and claim what is his own. And what she does, the church, is she, in imitating Jesus, she bears the sins of the world. She lives to intercede, to be witness, to give witness, to be the salt, to be the leaven, to be the light, to intercede, to carry the faith. I always go back. I bring this up so often, but these words have stayed with me ever since I heard Pope Benedict speak them. That the false deities, the false gods of the world, will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. And when we speak of simple believers, it brings us right back to the mystique of the Anawim, the poor of Yahweh, the daughter Zion, the little flock, the remnant, keeping the faith. You know, when many, many, many go astray. And so, anyway, I just, as I was reading that from Luke's Gospel on Saturday, as we heard that as we ended the liturgical year, we began the new year, Advent, again with the same summons to be watchful, to be alert, because you don't know the day nor the hour, but let Jesus not find us asleep, but about the task, the work of life that is been entrusted to all of us. And it, when I say that, what do you think? The work of life. What comes to your mind? What should we be doing? If somebody says, well, okay, so what if Jesus were to come today, right now, what should we be doing? How should he find us?
Find us vigilant.
But
testimony to our faith.
But how do you do that? I mean, what do you
just do our regular, like we always say that the saints were regular people. Just do our regular
doing your work.
Yeah, exactly.
Just being responsible in the loving, charitable way, although sometimes it's challenging. But just being an average person, but doing it with love.
Yeah,
taking care of each other, you know, just in a way living.
So how do you give witness? I mean, what do you do to give witness? I'll tell you what, let's just take a break. We'll come back and let's further address that question. Mm-hmm. But what would you do? There was a saint. I don't remember what saint it was, but he was asked a question. If you knew that Jesus were coming right now, or that this would be the, the moment of reckoning, you know, you're going to stand before the Lord. What would you do if you knew? Somebody says, okay, all right, you know, you've got 15 minutes. The Lord is coming in 15 minutes. What would you do? What would you do? We'll come back. I don't remember what saint said, but we'll come back and we'll talk about that. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to spend a holy hour for life at Divine Infant Parish,
where Father Loya will be the homilist Friday evening beginning at 7:30, December 12th, and be transformed. Also, be immersed in the sacred music of the Eastern and Western traditions sung by the Ecclesia Choir. A monstrance will be used, blessed by St. John Paul II, courtesy of the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. The Holy Hour for Life, Friday, December 12th, beginning at 7:30. Divine Infant Parish, 1601 Newcastle, Westchester, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So what would you do? if this
Tony, go ahead.
What would you do?
If I had 15 minutes?
Yeah, 15 minutes. So again, the season of Advent is certainly a remembering, right? We celebrate the first coming of Christ. So this is what we celebrate on Christmas. So the whole season is remembering how our ancestors, the prophets and the patriarchs and the holy women and the sinful people, about everybody, you know, what it was like when God broke into history, when he came in a very humble way, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived and 9 months hidden from the eyes of the world in the womb, the sanctuary of the Blessed Virgin before she gives birth on the holy night, the Christmas, the Mass of Christ, Jesus is born. So there were those who were disposed and receptive and gave their consent, their assent to do the will of God. Let it be done to me as you have said, as the Blessed Virgin Mary said. So there was this anticipation. And of course, there was St. John the Baptist who calls the people to repent of their sins and anticipate. This is as Jesus really makes his presence felt, you know, known as he comes, as he begins his mission. It'll be 3 years before he takes him to the cross where he atones for our sins. And so there he's being really presented to the whole world with his message, right, with his message. But so we're certainly remembering that he came, but the season is also a reminder that we have to be vigilant, live in anticipation of Jesus who will come again at the end of time. Now, that could be in our time, it could be 1,000 years from now, it could be 2,000 years from now, but we know that our time is short-lived, right? That we're here for just for a short time. But anyway, so what is, so the question again, if you were, you know, we find out, okay, 15 minutes, okay, I'll give you an hour. He's coming in an hour.
That's good.
What would you do? What would you do?
I guess I'd have to maybe sit and replay my life, see if, you know, beg forgiveness. All right. Please, yes. Lord, remember me.
Okay, when you come into your kingdom.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Take care of business. You know, business. You don't want to leave unfinished business. Otherwise, you have to take care of it on the other side, and it ain't pretty. So I'm just, no. As for forgiveness, if you have any, you know, and with any family member or friend, ask for forgiveness. You want to have that good relationship. You want to be ready. You know, it's like in preparation to be vigilant and be ready for the coming.
So why aren't you ready? Why not? I mean, so you got 15 minutes, you got an hour. I'm giving you an hour. Okay.
I'm thinking of other, you're talking to us personally?
Mm-hmm. Talking to you. Talking to you.
Okay. Well, I don't have any problems.
What do you think you are that you can talk for everybody else?
I'm just thinking of what people have told me that they have this issue with these people.
Okay. I'm not talking to you.
And I'm thinking it's giving, today is Giving Tuesday, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, you always hear it's give to your hurt. I would think him saying to me, Tony, did you give till it hurted?
And till it hurted.
Till it hurt. Did you give till it, you know.
Hurt? Okay, well, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I just think that.
Yeah. So the point is this, and I think you early on you made the correct answer. I mean, what should be ideally the correct
for others.
certainly what, not for, I mean, before that,
yeah.
Before the break,
right?
Because somebody, some saint, mm-hmm. one of the saints said, you know, it was that he was asked that question. He was, and at the time they were playing cards. They're playing poker or something. I don't know.
Just a regular.
They were playing games. Says, I just keep doing what I'm doing.
Wait till he comes.
Because you know,
should be ready.
The point, yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Vigilance.
Is anybody ever ready?
It means that we got to be about what you said earlier. We got to be about, you know, we got work to do. You wake up in the morning. What do you got to do? You've got to do what you're supposed to do. You got to get to work. You've got to take care of the kids. You've got to take care of the husband. The husband has to take care of the wife. You got to put money on the table, right? Mm-hmm. You got to feed
food
the kids. You got to. Teachers have to prepare their lesson plan. You know, we've got work. Everybody's got work. Who doesn't work? Even if you don't have a job, everybody's got the work of life, right? Isn't it amazing, though, you know, when you think you've got, well, like we had some of these beautiful days the past holiday, you know, and Thanksgiving. So it was very, I was talking about this yesterday. It was very, very nice. But those were, it was days of rest, but days of work because you,
that's true.
You know, you've got to work.
Yeah, so you had to. In preparation again for the feast or Thanksgiving, you had to work the prep of the food, getting the house ready, getting the guests, everything. Yeah, it was work. It's labor, even though you
sit
down.
To get from here to there.
You still have
to wake up and make your bed, right?
Yes. And even then, when you're sitting there, you're still, it's a work in progress.
Got to put gas in the car, right? Got to wash the dishes, even if you have to put them in the dishwasher. You know, my mother had eight dishwashers.
Well, she said, eight?
Yeah, eight. All her kids. She said,
kids?
Said, why don't you get a dishwasher? Well, I got eight dishwashers.
Eight.
I don't
okay,
need
okay.
Why do I need a dishwasher? I got eight dishwashers.
Eight manual
eight
dishwashers.
Kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's true, Father. You've mentioned it so often how the Holy Family, or you mentioned the people, Zechariah, and all the people that were waiting for the coming of Christ in preparation, they went about the daily chores and did it
right
in a loving way.
It's funny because I, you know, it's I'm doing this letter now for the third week of Advent, right? Because I have to say, and the thing is, okay, so Thanksgiving Day, Friday, Saturday, I'll call it Saturday. I was already back in the, you know, doing the weddings and all that kind of stuff, and then all that kind of stuff like that. Those are sacraments, but Friday was a quiet day. Yes. Thursday was a quiet day. Even Wednesday was a unusually quiet day because it was just quiet. And so, what did I do? I worked. I got down. I started writing the letters, you know, for the Christmas letter and the first or the second Sunday of Advent and the dealing with the business stuff, you know, the finances. I got a lot of stuff done. And I basically worked, you know, doing that those days. It was nice. It was relaxing. I had the time. I had the space. Nobody was bothering me. You weren't here, Christina. You know, and so I was able to get all these things done. Now I'm trying to do the third, but I'm tired from the tired from the days that I rested, so there's work. And people get tired, you know, after they're preparing the big feast for Thanksgiving and they're bringing the family together and even the travel. Traveling is tiring.
Yeah, that's stressful.
But it's good.
Even Sophie was saying, our organist, she mentioned, because I told her, you know, I did the turkey. My brother, my sister-in-law did Thanksgiving with the family this year. But I bought a new turkey fryer, and so I wanted to do it Saturday.
So you did that for somebody?
Yeah, for my family.
I didn't know that. Yeah, you told me, and I thought it was for yourself.
How am I going to eat a whole turkey?
Well, I don't know. You didn't tell me it was for the family. I thought you were doing it for yourself.
But anyway, I did. I was telling Sophie
how much.
This was
her first turkey she ever made, by the way.
No, deep fried turkey.
Deep fried.
I've done turkeys before, but not deep fried. So anyway, and it works for anyone who wants to know. But anyway, I did that, and I did my decorations. I did so much on Saturday. I was tired.
She showed me pictures of the decorations.
Yes, on my Christmas tree. But I told Sophie, Saturday, I did so much. She said, you know what? I did Thanksgiving. I prepared the meal, had the family over. I had to get the house ready. She's like, I did not do a thing because I was tired. After the whole preparation, it's like you reach a climax.
Yeah, you could tell it
and
in
you
her
sort
singing.
Of crash down afterwards.
Her singing was horrible on Sunday, I think, because she was so tired.
No, listen.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm joking. It's you know, like even the Sabbath is a day of rest, but there's work that goes into it. So it's the point is that we are vigilant insofar as, you know, we offer each day to God. You know, we wake up in the morning, as I tell the children all the time, and I probably have said it many times on the radio, but the first thing we do, the first prayer we offer is the sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. We wrap ourselves in the life of the Holy Trinity. We begin the day, you know, the work of the day, and we offer the day to God. And at the end of the day, there's by tradition what we call the examination of conscience. I look back on the day and just kind of not dwell on it, but, you know, what did I do? What did I do? What did I not do? What could I have done better? What do I need to do tomorrow? You know, how this is part of our life journey, you know, but the life is work. And yes, the Lord gives us a respite. And and thank God, you know, I think every day if we'd really be honest about, let me just say this too. I was thinking about this morning, by the way, because I was so tired from doing all these letters that I'm having to get the energy to do this other letter. And in the midst of all these other things that are going on. But then I think, you know, gosh, I just feel like I'm such a lazy person, you know, so lazy. But you know, I'm really not because I'm constantly.
No, you're a working.
I am, but I can. But I always. If
you
I'm
feel
not,
guilty if you're not doing.
If I don't have the fullness of it, you know, just that energy and that crispness, you know, what's a crisp thinking and energy. I feel like I'm lazy. I don't like to feel tired. But we naturally get tired. Anyway. Yes. Anyway, I don't know if this is all making any sense.
No, it does make sense. Yeah. People can relate to it. Yes.
People can relate?
Oh, definitely.
All right, then we'll keep going, right?
Oh, definitely.
But anyway, to go back to St. Cyril, let's just put this. Let's take a break. No, we'll keep going, okay? Let's keep going. Well, thank you, Armin. That was so nice. He's let me tell you.
Wait, but Armin said to keep going.
Yeah, okay. Advise me. Give me a clue as to when to, you know? See, when he's here in the studio, we try to get those three breaks
right.
in, so I'm trying to be very obedient, you know.
But
anyway, the first reading for from the office of readings for the season of Advent, and I don't know, we'll see how this relates, or we can make it. We'll make it relate. We'll make it all connect somehow.
It will.
But St. Cyril, so we're going back already to the earlier centuries of the church, you know, and he was the bishop of Jerusalem. And he's already speaking about this season of Advent, in preparation for Christmas and anticipation of the second coming of Christ. He says we don't preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience. The second will bring the crown of a divine kingdom. In general, what relates to our Lord Jesus Christ has two aspects. There is a birth from God before the ages and a birth from a virgin at the fullness of time. There is a hidden coming, like that of rain on fleece, and a coming before all eyes, still in the future. At the first coming, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. At his second coming, he will be clothed in light as in a garment. In the first coming, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In the second coming, he will be in glory, escorted by an army of angels. We look then beyond the first coming and await the second. At the first coming, we said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." At the second, we shall say it again. We shall go out with the angels to meet the Lord and cry out in adoration, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Savior will not come to be judged again. It's interesting how he says that, you know. The Savior will not be judged. He will not come to be judged again, but to judge those by whom he was judged. At his own judgment, he was silent when he came the first time. Then he will address those who committed the outrages against him when they crucified him and will remind them, "You did these things, and I was silent." His first coming was to fulfill his plan of love, to teach men by gentle persuasion. This time, whether men like it or not, they will be subjects of his kingdom by necessity. Malachi the prophet speaks of the two comings, and the Lord whom you seek will come suddenly to his temple. That is one coming. Again, he says of another coming, "Look, the Lord Almighty will come, and who will endure the day of his entry, or who will stand in his sight? Because he comes like a refiner's fire, a fuller's herb, and he will sit refining and cleansing." These two comings are also referred to by Paul in writing to Titus. The grace of God the Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us to put aside impiety and worldly desires and live temperately, uprightly, and religiously in this present age. So, you know, when we ask the question, this is what we should be doing, right? This is, even as we go about the work of life, as we do the mundane things of in the course of a day, we should live always in a pious way, not pious in other words, we have a sensitivity to what all that is sacred. Life is sacred, God is sacred, the human person is sacred. So we should be living with great sensitivity to the sacred that is in life. So we put aside impiety and desires for the world that is passing away, you know. Enjoy, respect, appreciate, be grateful for what God has given us, but not to be possessed by the things of this world. Mm-hmm. In essence, to grow into this precious nothingness so that God is everything. God is precious everything. And then we're not going to be so conscious of the fact that we lose something because we're not being possessed by, but this is, sure. The whole of our life journey is being purified of these things. That we live in joyful hope, right? Religiously in this present age, waiting for the joyful hope, rather, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice how he speaks of a first coming for which he gives thanks, and a second, the one we still await. This is why the faith we profess has been handed on to us in these words: "He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our Lord Jesus Christ will therefore come from heaven. He will come at the end of the world in glory at the last day, for there will be an end to this world, and the created world will be made new." This is purely biblical teaching, church teaching, and I wonder if we don't sometimes forget about that, or we don't reflect, as we've talked about this before, but we don't reflect so much on last things. We would say the church says, you know, we're basically living in the in the last days, and we have been living in the last days from the ascension to the Pentecost, when the church was received the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. But there will be the end of all time as we know it, when Jesus comes at that point in time to bring us out of time into eternity,
And Father, and you so often mentioned, we're talking about the saints too, that they've always kept death before.
Always.
Oh, that's always it. Always, because you don't know the time or the hour.
Right. And it's basically, isn't that what it is? Mm-hmm. So that each day we receive each day as a gift from God. Yes. We wake up. What has somebody said? Somebody told me that I don't remember how they said. When I wake up in the morning, and I thank God that I'm standing up, or
I'm still alive.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting how it was said. I don't even remember that. Interesting. I don't remember it. But anyway,
but it's true.
You know, it is. But each day is a new day, mm-hmm. and each day is a new opportunity. Yes. Each day is a new beginning. Could be a new beginning. Yes. And that's the beauty of the faith too. Is that if people say, "Well, gosh, I've all of a sudden, I've come into this realization that, well, there is a God, and that God has given me life, and I've never really thought about that. I've never really appreciated. I've never lived in gratitude for this gift that has been given to me, and it's going to be and it's finite in this world. That, you know, there's going to come an end to my life journey, and gosh, what have I done all these years?" Well, the beauty is, and this is really the beauty. I mean, you think of Dismas, right? The criminal who was hanging to the right, I believe, of the cross of Jesus, or the two thieves, and the one was basically blaspheming Jesus. You know, I forgot what he said. You know, save yourself and save us, or something to that effect, or I don't remember mm-hmm. exactly, but. I'll tell you, if I were Baptist, I would know that, wouldn't I? The Baptist people, they remember word for word everything in the, but you get the point, right? I'm a good Catholic anyway, so. But Dismas on the other side, he says, you know, he admonishes the guy, right? Why, you know, what has he done? He hasn't done anything. He's innocent.
Yes.
You know, we're paying for our crime. And he had humility to say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, he says, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's the good news, isn't it, really? Yes. That every day is an opportunity, a new day, a new beginning. That the Lord says, no, today, you know, die to the old and we put on the new man, right? Mm-hmm. We'll change that heart and make it into a heart of flesh, a heart of love, a heart that is that seeks to live in and through Christ. So this is the beauty of it all. You know, that'd be born again, right? Or born in the waters of baptism. We're born into the mystical body of Christ, but that grace is given. The gift is given. It's not going to be taken away, but it can, you know, be left on the shelf. We never really know what it is that was given. But the moment we begin to really receive it, open the gift, then we can begin to live and say, oh my gosh, I could have had this, you know, but today's a new day, a new beginning. So anyway, what do we want to do but to be vigilant, right? What does that mean, to be vigilant, to have the mind and the heart turned toward God always at all time as we go about the work of life? All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of three innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the three men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the three innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image, as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
DivineInfantLife.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to spend a holy hour for life at Divine Infant Parish,
where Father Loya will be the homilist, Friday evening, beginning at 7:30, December 12th, and be transformed. Also, be immersed in the sacred music of the Eastern and Western traditions sung by the Ecclesia Choir. A monstrance will be used, blessed by St. John Paul II, courtesy of the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. The Holy Hour for Life, Friday, December 12th, beginning at 7:30. Divine Infant Parish, 1601 Newcastle, Westchester, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I almost missed that there. So yes, we're in the season of Advent. I said, what's your problem over there, Christina? What happened?
Power cords.
Oh. Playrod is askew on pedal quite. Yes.
It's one of those days, huh?
It certainly is.
It's not my day today.
It's not your day.
Well, Jerry would know about the cords. We're always, right, Jerry? You're listening. We're always here, tangled up with the cords, so she
tangled
knows.
Up in blues.
So why should you fast? You know, we were saying, you know, yesterday we started to talk about that, and I've got this interesting article that I was reading yesterday. Advent is a penitential season. We don't think of it in the same way that we do when we go into the 40 days of Lent. You know, fasting is abstinence and fast. We're not required to abstain or to fast, but it is part of the it's part of the penitential. You know, why would we fast?
To make room for the coming of our king.
The turkey.
No, we're turkeyed out already.
Yeah.
No, but to make room.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's good. Why would you fast, Tony?
I don't know.
I mean, that's
well,
one thing to say.
Tony's a vegetarian.
It's a vegetarian. Well, still, I mean, but
I guess to, I don't know, to bring, to diminish me. It's not me, you know?
Yeah.
To do something that is.
To shrink.
Shrink me?
Well, that'll do it, too. Fasting will do that, right?
No, and it makes sense. Not only spiritually, but health-wise, because you know how people during the celebrations, we eat and we tend to gain weight. So this makes sense to you fast, and that way you're ready, don't gain weight.
Well, see,
you lose to gain.
You know, holistic holiness of life,
yes.
The mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. So, you know, that I was reading about that because it's interesting you say shrink because a fasting diet is we shrink, right?
We
become smaller. That would be the goal, right? You want people diet?
It's not working for me.
No, but well, then there's a spiritual.
We're not gonna go there,
there's that, you know, the other. So if we create the space, we create the space. We empty ourselves in a sense in order to be filled with God, right? So that we want to remove the obstacles or the impediments or the barriers, or certainly we want to eradicate from ourselves the our shortcomings, our sins. Some of the things that get in the way, you know, that we want to live more with greater authenticity, our faith, our life in Christ, so that we can give a greater witness, authentic witness to Christ among us, that the Lord has, he broke into history, 2,000 years ago, but he continues to break into our lives, right? But we have to be receptive, we have to be open. Mm-hmm. And so fasting allows us to, when you say shrink, I'm just thinking of St. John the Baptist, who said, I decrease that he increase. I think that's a beautiful image for fasting, right?
Sure.
I decrease that he increase. And by the way, John the Baptist is the saint, I guess he would be the patron saint of those who live an ascetical life, you know, asceticism, you know, the fasting and the austerity of life, you know, so that there be no, in fact, what was it? They said that they called John. They thought he was mad because he lived in the desert, and but he was very, very astute, very, very focused, very, very much waiting, there, eager to fulfill the will of God in his life, to proclaim the coming, to point out that there is a Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and calling people to repent of their sins, to create that space to be disposed. Jesus, on the other hand, was called a glutton. He was called a drunkard because he wasn't a drunkard, but he certainly celebrated life, you know, with the people. But he had his own. He went into the desert as well, you know. So it's just people are always nothing new under the sun, right? People are always looking for. Let's focus on the. Let's try to find the flaws. Let's mm-hmm. try to look for the. But anyway, apart from the spiritual, there is the physical benefits of, sure. of fasting. And I was reading about this yesterday that and you know, people say, well, how do you fast? So there's you can kill two birds with one stone. Can you say that? It's sure. probably politically incorrect to say that, right? Kill two birds with one stone.
We're just not, for the birds.
We're not into that, right? Okay. So, but anyway, and that's just a turkey, right?
Exactly.
It's a turkey, but we want to get. Put the turkey aside for right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Turkey it out.
But anyway, you know, we're so accustomed to eating three square meals a day. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a breakfast and lunch and dinner. Supper. Or breakfast, dinner, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then to snack in between, right? So there's got to be the snacking as well. And people are very much into these binge diets, you know, trying to do something. But... The point is that diabetes, heart disease, cancer, mm-hmm. even Alzheimer's could benefit from what I was reading here, that through intermittent fasting, rather than the three meals a day, to fight obesity through by consuming fewer calories. We think, you sure. know, if we eat fewer calories, eat your vegetables and your fruits and your nuts and your fish and the fiber and all that, and eliminate all the snacks, but that would be a diet, right? That would be a diet. But actually, as I was reading here about the benefits of fasting and how do you fast, but it could be that we cut out, you know, one of those meals, or we just intermittent eating. Mm. So we eat a little bit here, eat a little mm-hmm. bit there. But anyway, the point is that according to some studies that were being mm-hmm. done, that this is very effective in the loss of
like
weight.
Smaller meals a day instead of
smaller
the three
portions.
Yeah,
smaller a day.
Yeah, or even to have you know, maybe one day every 3 days or something, to have a day where you just eat, you know, no more than 500 calories or something. Mm-hmm. But it's a form of fasting. But the point is that your body benefits, your mind benefits from that as well. There's they were saying the study that was done, that the ancient hunter-gatherers, right, they would often eat only it intermittently. Mm. And this suggested that this ability to function at a high level, both physically and mentally, during extended periods without food may have been crucial to human evolution. So anyway, I've just put that out there, you know. But it is a time to, and kind of in anticipation of the great feast, right? Mm. Because, you know, people put on a lot of weight from what I understand, you know, from
yes.
from Christmas to New Year's, right?
Many of us can relate.
Or through the Christmas, through the whole season, because there's all the parties and all that kind
yes.
of stuff, you know. So anyway, all right, let's take a break, and then we're going to shift gears a little bit for the last segment of the show. I was really inspired by this, Harvard's valedictorian, who is becoming a Dominican nun. And I thought there was a... Yeah, it is. It's share a little bit of that with you when we come back to close the day, or the show for the day, because the work of the day continues. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church,
located 2 blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up the hour. It's gone kind of fast again, hasn't it?
It is.
Seems so. But this caught my attention this morning. I was, as I'm seeing what's out there, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff out there and many things that I'd like to talk about that I just, you know, let's put it aside for right now. There's too much bad news, it seems so often.
Yes.
We know what we got to do. We know what we're supposed to do. So we have to, you know, you can't change the whole world, but you can certainly be in with yourself, right? And do what is right, what is proper, as St. Paul said in the, was it St. Paul or Malachi? I forgot now who it was, but we were just talking about that. But anyway, St. Paul to Titus, you know, live an upright life, you know, don't be possessed in the possession of the world, but live with in a detached, what we call holy detachment. I'm using my own word, but a holy detachment. In other words, we appreciate and we use well the things of this world, and we're about the work of life, but we have this. What is it? But the point is that we live under the dominion of God. You know, possessed by the Lord, we seek to be in the possession of God, be in the, put ourselves in the hand of the potter, as we heard Sunday from the prophet Isaiah, and let the Father, the potter, mold the clay, you know, be secure, comfortable, at peace in the hand of God, knowing that He knows what we don't know. He sees what we don't see. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Even Jesus says, when you go to your Father, you don't have to say anything, just be there. He already knows. You know, of course, it's our human nature to want to. And we need to, because it helps us, you know, we need to hear ourselves speak to God about our needs and our dreams and our hopes and desires and all that, and let Him then, you know, mold the clay. But anyway, this is a young woman, Marianne Marks. This caught my attention this morning. She is the valedictorian, Harvard's valedictorian, who gave her entire address in Latin. And evidently, the people must have been following in English, but she did it, you know, just not with a teleprompter or anything. She just, you know, did the whole speech, the whole talk, her address in Latin. But I was watching as people were following this in the program, so it must have been written down for them. And you could see that the people were very intent, and there were times they were laughing, and you know, at times they were, you know. But anyway, the point is that she is Harvard's valedictorian. She's becoming a Dominican nun. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the story begins, you know, don't tell Marianne Marks the Catholic Church is an oppressive, misogynistic disaster. She knows better. She's got a Harvard degree as well. And so there was this interview, just a little part of the interview here. You know, you're a Harvard graduate. You're surrendering all the possibilities that entails by entering a convent. And she said, her response was yes. He says, if one doesn't see becoming a well-educated, intellectually alive nun as one of the possibilities, and in this interviewer said, I don't know about you, but I read, you know, the New York Times and a number of the op-ed columnists. There in a number of the news stories tell us about, you know, that the Catholic Church is anti-woman, and from other stories about the various scandals, the Catholic Church also sounds like a dying loser organization of sinners. Well, why would you choose to represent it in such a public, hard-to-miss way? Because she's joining a traditional religious community where they were visibly present as religious sisters, nuns. And she says, you know, her response is, I feel privileged to represent the Catholic Church in a visible way, because it's an organization of sinners and sinners turned saints, emphatically alive, expanding, and responsive to the needs of the time, an organization that has been enormously effective in promoting the spiritual and material well-being of women and men throughout the 2,000 years of its existence. From its earliest years, the Church's doctrine of equality of all humans as beloved children of God and its reverence for Mary as the spouse and mother of God elevated women to a status previously unheard of. In her own times, the Church's unequivocal opposition to practices such as abortion and contraception, which harm women physically and psychologically and threaten to render them victims of their own and others' unchecked desires, makes the Church a lone voice above the chaos promoting women's dignity and happiness. That was a beautiful response to this this question. And she says, the cry that the Church is a dying, loser organization of sinners echoes down the centuries. It rang out in the days of Christ. It rang out in Luther's day, and it rings out in ours. The second part always has and always will be true, Kyrie eleison, she said, you know, Lord have mercy. The erroneousness of the first part is suggested by the Church's record of accomplishments and its longevity to this point, and by the new growth that people of my generation rejoice to see. And this is very reason for optimism. And then he says, I don't know Harvard to be a great incubator or beacon of religious vocations. Am I wrong? And she says, you know, you are wrong. Deo gracias, she says, you know, thank God. Because she says she goes and lists all the people from Harvard who are joining religious communities, going to the priesthood and joining religious communities. She said that a couple of years ago, a young man who finished Harvard in 3 years entered the seminary in St. Louis. A little further back, a young woman who attended Harvard and lived in the same women's residence that I did joined the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal. Mm-hmm. One of my friends, whom I met while she was pursuing a degree at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, joined the Religious Sisters of Mercy 2 years ago. And this July, two young men from Harvard joined the Eastern Province of the Dominicans. And then we were just talking to, right?
Yes, go ahead. We have one of our own parishioners, Ernesto Vargas, who got a full scholarship at Harvard, and he was going to go into law, but he's studying to major in theology. He wants to teach the true teachings of the Church.
Right.
So we're very proud of him, and so it shows you that the Church is very much alive.
Yeah.
And as far as the Dominican Sisters, there's a waiting list there. They have a lot of young sisters with the Dominicans.
Right. By the way, Sister Matt, you said you saw the first segment. Sister Florian was speaking about the life of the nuns or these young
the
women.
The five young women who are discerning to join the
religious
life. Yeah. Yes.
But the beautiful thing is that there is some, you know, we can be inundated, and we are inundated every day with the darkness out there, the ranting and the ravings and the stuff in a hidden way, but not so hidden, because here this woman is a valedictorian. She's giving the address in Latin. Everybody is following the address in their in their programs, I believe. But the fact is that God is very, very much alive, and very active. And will continue to be active and alive. And the Church, well, as Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. So that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And cause for hope. So that's it. We're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. Be watchful, as Jesus said. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Truth, so sit on the fence. Can you see?